Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hello everyone, my name is Sadara. I'm one of the members of staff here at the church, and it's awesome to be speaking to you today on this Celebration Sunday. Now I know that those TikTok videos were gift enough, but I want to say a very warm and happy Mother's Day to all our amazing women out there. Listen, if you give love in any capacity, if you nurture, if you bless, if you encourage, then we want to celebrate you and honor you today. Now, since it is Mother's Day, I thought it was only fitting for me to bring you a photograph of my two mums. Now, it's going to go up on your screen right now. And as you're facing the screen, on the left-hand side is my mum, and on the right-hand side is my mother-in-law. And so those are my two mamas. Aren't they gorgeous? Well, that photo was taken on the Sri Lankan leg of our wedding. And so that's why they're dressed up in their traditional Sri Lankan saris and just looking all glam and looking all beautiful, my two mamas. Now, today, I want to start off by telling you a story about the woman on the left-hand side of that screen, my mum. Now, some of you may know that I was born and raised in Sri Lanka. And when I grew up, at the time I was born, Sri Lanka was actually in the middle of a civil war. Now, I know that sounds intense, but, you know, for us growing up, our childhoods were pretty normal. We grew up safe and were fortunate to grow up in the capital, which is Colombo, which was away from where the heavy fighting took place up in the north. You know, but occasionally we would have a bomb scare or a terrorist attack in the capital. And it sounds intense, like I said, but actually it was pretty normal to us because it's what we had grown up with. Now, my mum worked for an airline and their regional headquarters was in the business district, in the CBD in Colombo. And her office was, I guess, in what you would call Sri Lanka's version of the Twin Towers. And they were these two big, tall skyscraper buildings. And her office was kind of high up on one of the floors. Now, every day, my mom would go to work and she had this routine. She had this rhythm that she did. She would go in a little bit early before her boss came in and she would take out her devotional book, her prayer book, and she would start every day by reading the prayer for the day. And so on this particular day I'm talking about, she did the same thing. She got to the office early before her boss came in. She took out her prayer book and she started reading the prayer. Now, halfway through, she actually heard a noise that seemed to be coming from the busy road outside. And it sounded like there were fireworks. It sounded like there were firecrackers going off. And there was supposed to be a military parade later on in the day. And so she thought it was just kind of a pre-celebration. She didn't think anything of it. She continued reading her prayer for the day, but the noise continued and she just felt this voice inside of her tell her to go and look outside the window. But she didn't want to interrupt her prayer reading and she wanted to get it done before her boss came in. So she just didn't pay any attention to it and she just continued reading. But the noise continued and this voice inside of her grew stronger and stronger. And so she put the book down and she walked across to where the window was and she just parted the blind. And what she saw was there were two men standing on the middle of the island and the street and they had a machine gun on them. And they were just shooting people randomly as they were walking by. As you can imagine, she was shocked and she was frozen to the spot. But out of the corner of her eye, she saw that there was a big truck that was backing in to what was the Central Bank of Sri Lanka at the time that was directly opposite her office. And to this day, she doesn't know why and she doesn't know how, but immediately she said that she knew that there was a bomb in that truck. And so she ran to the rest of the floor, to the rest of her colleagues, and she started telling them that they needed to get out of the building. But they didn't believe her at first. But she managed to convince them. But by the time they got to the fire exits and to the lifts, they were all jammed because so many people were trying to get out of this big, tall skyscraper building. So they knew that they weren't going to get out in time. So what they did was they went as far away from the windows as they could, and they crouched down in the far back corner. And the minute they crouched down, the whole building exploded. There was glass shattering everywhere. There were wires and cables flying. The ceiling fell down. And I remember being a 10-year-old child. I was in school at the time. And I remember hearing this deafening sound and the ground beneath our feet just shook and it vibrated. You know, by the grace of God, my mom wasn't hurt or she wasn't killed that day. But so many others weren't as fortunate. That blast killed nearly 100 people and injured 1,400 more people. These are some of the photographs that appeared in the newspapers in the following days. Now, I've heard my mum tell this story a few times over the years. And every time she tells this story, the people listening, they ask her, how did you manage to not panic? How did you manage to keep your head? How did you manage not only to live through this experience, but how did you manage to just take also a colleague of yours that was hurt all by yourself, staggering, carrying his weight all by yourself with his blood all over your clothes? How did you manage to get him to hospital? And as a 10-year-old child, I remember listening, but I can't actually remember any of her answers. But I remember thinking that I wasn't surprised. You know, my mum is a hero on all accounts because of her, people's lives were saved that day. And I'm proud, but I'm not surprised. You see, I'm not surprised that she listened to that still small voice inside of her. I'm not surprised that she put her needs second and the needs of somebody else, her colleague who was injured, above her own. I'm not surprised that she didn't panic. I'm not surprised that she didn't lose her head. You see, because that's the kind of person my mum has always been. Whether that was helping us with homework, whether that was breaking brownies for us, whether that was navigating my father's heart attack a few years later, or helping people in a terrorist attack, that's the kind of person she's always been. You know, a bishop by the name of Brooke Westcott said this. He said, great occasions do not make heroes or cowards. They simply unveil them to our eyes. Great occasions don't make heroes or cowards. They simply unveil them to our eyes. And I agree with him because watching my mum over the years, one thing I've learned is this. Crisis doesn't create character. Crisis simply unveils character. You know, it's the small moments. It's the everyday moments. It's the mundane moments. The small decisions that we make when no one else is watching. Those are the moments that shape and build and mold character. You know, right now, you and I are in the middle of a global pandemic. It's a crisis that has shook the world to its core. And there have been so many stories of struggle, of loss, of heartache, so many of us personally affected by everything that's going on. And all the while, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm challenged by what this crisis reveals about my character. Listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ today, then we're so glad that you're tuning in. Welcome. It's awesome to have you with us. But you would also agree that this crisis, it has challenged us to think about who we are and why we do what we do. And so for the rest of my time today, I want to talk to you about character in the middle of crisis by looking at a story we find in the Bible. It's a story we find in 2 Kings chapter 4. And it's a story about a woman, a mother in the middle of her own crisis. Now, we don't know very much about this woman. We know that she's wealthy, she's doing all right for herself, and she lives in a town called Shunem. Now, in the town of Shunem, back in the day, there was also a prophet by the name of Elisha. And a prophet back in the day was a representative of God. He was an intermediary between God and people. And this prophet Elisha and his servant Gehazi, they would pass through this town of Shunem frequently. And when they did, the Shunammite woman and her husband, they would show them great kindness and they would show them a great deal of hospitality. Now, Elisha was so grateful, he wanted to repay this woman for her kindness. And so upon learning that she didn't have any children and she was far along in age, he prophesied into their life. He promised them that she would conceive and miraculously give birth to a son. And so it happened exactly like Elisha said. She conceived and she gave birth to a son, and the son grew up and they were happy as a family. And then tragedy struck. A crisis occurred. And we join the story in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 18. The words will come up on your screen so you can follow along super easily. And it says this, it says, one day when her child was older, he went out to help his father who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly he cried out, my head hurts, my head hurts. His father said to one of the servants, carry him home to his mother. So the servant took him home and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, he died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, Elisha's bed, and then she shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. Why go today? The husband asked her. It's neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath. But she said, it will be all right. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, "Hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to." As she approached the man of God, Elisha, at Mount Carmel, he saw her in the distance and he said to Gehazi, "Look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband and your child?" "Yes," the woman told Gehazi, "everything is fine." But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. The story continues, and Elisha actually goes back to Shunem with this woman. And after doing everything that needed to be done, this boy that lay dead, he was raised back to life. Today, I believe, church, that God wants to speak to us in the middle of our crisis by looking at the story of the Shunammite woman, by looking at her character in the middle of her crisis. More specifically, what she did, where she went, and what she said. In other words, her action, her confession, and her direction. Because you see, just like this Shunammite woman, I believe that for us, our character in the middle of our crisis is deeply impacted by what we do, what we say, and where we go. Now, today, I don't know what crisis looks like for you. Perhaps due to this global pandemic, you find yourself in financial hardship. Perhaps someone in your family has lost a job. Or maybe for you, you struggle with mental health challenges at the moment. Perhaps you found isolation really hard, not being able to come to church, not being able to be a part of community like we're used to. Maybe for you, homeschooling your children has taken a toll on you. Perhaps your marriage is struggling right now. Whatever situation you find yourself in today, I believe that your action, your confession, and your direction are really powerful right in the middle of where you are. So we're going to talk about these a little more. Firstly, our action. What we do. Did anyone else start this year, 2020, with big plans and possibilities and dreams that you had for the year, goals that you wanted to achieve? Is it just me? I think there's a few of us out there. Well, I think it's safe to say that 2020 hasn't quite turned out the way that we thought it would. And you know, when you look at all these goals and dreams and plans that seem to have come to a stop, it's easy to get disappointed, isn't it? When you look at all of the things that seem to have come to a grinding halt, I don't know about you, but it's easy to get disappointed. And that's normal because, well, it is disappointing. As we read the story of the Shunammite woman, we find that she knew a thing or two about disappointment. We find her at her lowest point, a mother holding her child who had died in her arms. This miracle that was born to her, the promise of God that came true in her life. I can't imagine the heartache, the grief, the utter and bitter disappointment she would have felt. But what really struck me about this Shunammite woman is what she did next, the action that she took next. What do you do when someone passes away? Well, usually you make plans for their burial, you make plans for a funeral, you get ready to mark an end. Not this Shunammite woman. What does she do? She leaves her child at home, she gets a donkey and a servant, and she makes a beeline for Elisha. You see, she wasn't getting ready for a burial. No, she was getting ready for a revival. Perhaps for you, this year was going to be the year that you did that, or this year was the year that you had hoped that, or this year you had vision for, or this year you wanted to achieve this goal. And right now, all those dreams and goals and plans, they seem to have stopped. They seem to have come to a halt. They seem to have died. And it's disappointing. And that's only normal. But I want to tell you today that disappointment is the playground of the devil. And you can feel disappointed, but I want to encourage you today, don't let that disappointment stay as discouragement. Don't let your disappointment stay as discouragement. Don't give up on the hope that you had. Don't give up on the dream that you had dreamed. Don't give up on the plan that you had planned. Don't give up on the promise that you carried. Don't bury in your disappointment what God will revive in His glory. Because He is the great restorer. He is the great redeemer. He is the great reviver. And it might look different to what you thought it would, but you can plan for a revival. And I believe that in the middle of your crisis, the greatest thing that he wants to revive is you. You can plan for a revival. Secondly, our confession, what we say. You know, when her son died, this Shunammite woman, she kept saying something that really confused me. She tells her husband when he asks her why she's going to see Elisha, in 2 Kings 4:23, she says, oh, it will be all right. And then when Gehazi asks her how she is, how her husband is, how her son is, she tells him in verse 26, she says, everything is fine. Why did she say everything was fine when it actually wasn't? I mean, her son was dead. Everything certainly was not fine. Was she in denial? Did she not want to face the facts? Or was it a statement of faith? You see, Proverbs 18:21 says that the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue holds the power of life and death. What we speak into our lives, what we speak into our situations, what we speak into our crisis, what we speak into our challenge, what we speak into our obstacles, they hold weight and they hold power. The tongue has the power of life and death. So this Shunammite woman, she wasn't delusional, she wasn't in denial. She was simply declaring what she knew to be true. It wasn't okay right now, but everything was going to be fine. Someone I once knew said, you know, we can face the facts, but apply the faith. And that's exactly what this Shunammite woman was doing. She faced the facts, but she applied the faith. And you and I, we get to make that same choice in the middle of our challenge, in the middle of our crisis right now. We can face the facts, but we can apply the faith. We can choose to speak life. We can choose to speak hope. We can choose to speak encouragement into our situations and into the situations of the people around us. Our confession in crisis, it matters. The tongue holds the power of life and death. We can face the facts and apply the faith. What will you choose today? And very lastly, our direction, where we go. You know, this woman, not only didn't she make funeral preparations, but she didn't actually mention what had happened to anyone, not even to her husband. She just made a beeline to Elisha. Her singular objective was get to Elisha. See, this son of hers, this boy, he was a gift of God through the prophet Elisha. And so Gehazi and her husband really couldn't do anything for her. And so she knew that there was only one person who could help, only one person who could heal, only one person who could restore. And so what does she do? She took the promise back to the giver. She takes her promise back to the giver. When these COVID measures came into effect, when the lockdown happened all over Australia, my husband Dev is a dentist and his dental clinic closed down, they locked down. And so for the last month and a bit, he's been out of work. And as we were talking about what this meant for us and what how we were going to navigate through this season, he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, you know what? I don't know how all of this is going to work out, but I do know this. My job is just my supply, but God is always my source. My job is just my supply, but God is always my source. So when the supply seems to run out, when the sun seems to die, when the seed seems to be dormant, what do? You go back to the promiser, you go back to the giver, you go back to the source of the supply. You know, church, I don't know what you feel like you've lost over the last few weeks. I don't know what seems to have died, what promise seems to have died in your life. I don't know what you feel like has been taken away from you. But I do know that there's only one place that you can go, only one place that you can take your confusion, your anger, your frustration, only one place that you can take your hurts and you can take your disappointments. There's only one person who can help, only one place to go, only one direction to head in. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall to the heart of the sea. Why? Because we trust in God. In the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a challenge, in the middle of obstacles and fights and battles, there is only one place to go, and that place is to the presence of God. In the middle of a crisis, it matters where we go. And as we end today, I want to leave you with this. You know, as I look at the story of the Shunammite woman, I'm struck by the fact that everything she did in her crisis, everything she said, all of her energy was spent on getting to Elisha. She leaves her son who had died at home, and she doesn't tell anybody that's what's happened. She doesn't even tell her husband. She gets a donkey, she gets a servant, and she goes as fast as humanly possible to Elisha. Why? Remember I told you that Elisha was a prophet? He was a representative of God. He was the intermediary between God and people back in the day. He was her pathway to God. In the middle of her crisis, all she had was Elisha. But you and I, today, in the middle of our crisis, we have someone far better. We have someone far greater, far superior. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Church, we have a better pathway, and his name is Jesus Christ. As I read this story of the Shunammite woman, it reminds me actually of another story. It points forward to a story that has not yet happened. It's a foreshadowing of something that was yet to come. A son miraculously born, unexpectedly died, and raised back to life again. Church, does this remind you of another story? Does it not remind you of the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of a virgin, died a sinner's death on a cross, and raised back to life in glory? Does it not remind you of the story of Jesus? God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son to die a sinner's death on a cross so that you and I would not have to pay the price nor the penalty of our sin. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our transgressions for us. Every single sin, past, present, and future, has been atoned for and paid for because of Jesus' death on the cross. And now you and I, we stand clean, washed, with a fresh slate, and we have been adopted into the family of God. We are called sons, and we are called daughters of the Most High God. This is the good news of the gospel, and it's available to anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Today, because of Jesus, because of the cross, through Jesus, through the cross, you and I have an eternal pathway into the presence of God, into the presence of the Father. And when you get into the presence of God, you'll find that he has everything that you need. The strength that you need, the faith that you doubt, the hope that you lost, the joy that you lack. You find it all in the presence of the Father. And when you get into the arms of the Father, you are reminded that you are never alone, never without hope, never forsaken. That you always, always have the presence of your Father going before you, going beside you, and walking with you. We're gonna hear a song right now. And our prayer is that this song encourages you and that it blesses you. And my hope is that as you hear the words of this song, it's called The Blessing, and it's taken right from Scripture, from Numbers 6. And I believe it reveals the Father's heart towards us right now in this season. And I hope that you let the words of this song go deep into your heart. That they're not just songs and words and lyrics that you hear, but this is coming straight from the Father heart of God, right into your situation, right where you are. And I hope it blesses you, and I hope it encourages you today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.